the Eastern Gate. Father's Day is a special day, a special time of the year. It's a special time for me because I get complete obedience from everyone in my family. I tell them not to spend a lot of money on me, and they don't. Nah. On a serious tone, though, it is a special time of year and a special day. We all love, I hope you enjoy your family as much as I enjoy mine. I got to thinking a while ago, there's actually a four-way tie on that because I have four kids. So I get a cooler. I think we've got enough. But they're not present here, not a one of them today. Robert is, matter of fact, I think he is in traveling from Maryland over to Ohio. Lisa's at Camp Hosanna as a counselor there. And David called me this morning from South Carolina. And James is up there, and of course in Maryland, where Robert was visiting with him up there. So they're all over the states here. But anyway, we love them and I appreciate them. David's already called me this morning for Father's Day. And the others, I'm sure, will make their tones as throughout the day. But I hope that you dads appreciate what goes into some of the things your family does for you. It doesn't have to be much, but it's the thinking, the thought, and some of the most precious cards and letters I've ever received, I received at Father's Day. And I still have some of those that meant so much, and we just praise the Lord for that. But life is full of choices. And dads, we're going to look at some choices this morning. Some of the choices in life are made for us. Some of them are made by us. But while we can't always decide what happens to us, we can decide how we respond to those things. Matter of fact, someone has said that life is 5% of what happens and 95% of how you respond to what happens. And I think that may be pretty close to what happens in this world. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Joshua 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua is at the end of his life. He's having led God's people into the conquest of Canaan, coming into the promised land there. many of the battles that they faced, and God gave them victory. And coming into that land, he affirmed before his own people there the choice that he had made to serve God. In verse 14 there it says, "And now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," the word evil there means to no advantage. If it is not a decision that you think is right for you, he says, "then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so he, in his old age here, after having had all these victories, after the children of Israel there in the promised land there that God had promised to them, and he affirms there his faith of following the Lord, his choice that he had made in serving the Lord and in serving the Lord with all of his heart. And in doing that, you heard those words there, and as I looked up, some of you were reading with me or possibly quoting it from memory. For some of you have maybe a plaque in your house that states there, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Many of you, even if you've not, you probably committed that to memory. But that is a statement of choice that Joshua had made, and a statement that was calling for the rest of Israel to make a similar commitment or choice to follow the Lord and to serve Him with all of their heart. And it's this statement of choice that I want us to examine this morning in the time that we have. I've entitled the message, "Choose You This Day." I think that's appropriate. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our time this morning. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word today. I thank You for the great gems of truth that are scattered throughout all of it, as all of Your Word is profitable unto us. It is inspired and it's our authority. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand the truth of it this morning as You lead us and challenge us to make sure that we have made this commitment of choice and to be Your, not just to be Your child and have salvation, but, Lord, to serve You with all of our heart. I pray, Father, that as we look into this particular statement, that we would see its truths and how it applies to each one of us, and guide us in making the right choices. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. There are four things that I want you to see concerning this statement here. The first one is that it was a personal choice. Joshua said, as for me, this was his choice. You know, those that come to follow the Lord God, they come to Him by choice. Nobody can force you and pressure you in a decision for Jesus Christ. Not for salvation and not for commitment to serve Him with all your heart. There's been some people, I think, that just have thought the idea that if I can put the pressure on you, if I can nag you long enough, or if I can embarrass you in some way to think that maybe you better make this choice or somehow pressure you into doing it, that at least you did it. But I'm here to tell you that you didn't. If it is a pressure, if it is a forcing you to do it and not from your willing heart, it counts for nothing. Just because you say the words, or just because you get a little certificate saying I've been saved and I've been baptized and I'm on my way to heaven. I've got one in my closet up there that I received when I was 12 years old after I was sprinkled. And if I would have died at that time, I'd be in hell today, even though I'd been in church all my life. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus Christ. I knew what He had done. I'd memorized Scripture, all of those things. You've heard this testimony before. And yet it was when my eyes were opened that I personally had to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's when salvation took place. And so it's not just saying some words. It's not being forced into doing something. But from your own willing heart, you make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. then you are truly saved. Couple of months ago, I sang a song entitled the Whippoorwill Song. The words there, it says, I hold the waters in my mighty hand, God speaking, spread out the heavens with a single span, make all creation tremble at my voice, but my own children come to me by choice. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and reels, but give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it, though, if you say so. I'll never force you, for I love you so. I give you freedom. Is it yes or no? You know, that's true of salvation, as I mentioned there just a moment ago. You have a choice to make, and I pray that everyone in here has already made the choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have, then you have your sins forgiven. You've got the righteousness of Christ imparted into your life. You've got the blessings of being a child of God here, and you've got the blessings promised of being the child of God there when this life is over. And that's all great. Amen? But if you choose not to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can do that. If you say, that's really not for me, I don't think that I really want that, you can make that choice, or you can ignore the choice that is set before you, and you can be in what might say the default mode as a sinner. And if you die that way, then the just, holy God must punish sin, and so you have chosen then to be or have what remains, and that is to go to hell for all eternity future, to suffer in that place of torment. The choice is yours, is the point. And some may argue and say, but yeah, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe that there's a place of suffering. I believe that when you die, the grave is it. But my friend, let me tell you something. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it not so. You can stand up on a tall building and say, I can't see gravity and I don't believe it's there, and step out. But you'll find out too late that it is true. And the same thing is true with God's offer of salvation. If you neglect it, if you reject it, you'll find out that the punishment of hell is real. God is not willing that any should perish and have to go there, but He is wanting everyone to receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be saved. That's why He sent His Son into the world. He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish and go to that place of torment, but have everlasting life. That choice is yours to make. And if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's another choice on the table here today, and that is to serve the Lord with all of your might. And you have a choice with that as well. You can do that and receive the joy of knowing that you're right with God and you're doing what He wants, what He has equipped you to do, and you'll have the rewards that are in heaven that He's promised later. Or you cannot do that. As His child, you can suffer the consequences of chastisement as He seeks to get your attention to turn back. And ultimately, as you stand before Him in heaven, you will not receive the rewards that you could have had. You'll be saved, but there will be nothing really to show for it. My friend, that choice is also yours. It is a personal choice. Joshua had made his choice, and he had made it plain that this is the man that he was going to be. And men and young men out here today, you have a choice that is before you as a believer to decide what kind of a believer, what kind of a man are you going to be in this life? What kind of a Christian are you going to be? What kind of a husband are you going to be? What kind of a father are you going to be? The choice is yours. Joshua made his choice. There was no turning back. That song we sometimes sing at an invitation there, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. It is a choice that we make. Not only, but understand this, it's not only just a personal choice, but He made it public. He told all of Israel, this is my choice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it was a personal choice, but He was willing to make a public stand with it. He wasn't afraid for others to know where He stood with the Lord. I hope that you're that committed with your personal choice. As for me, not only was it a personal choice there, but it was a parental choice. As for me and my house, He said. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it tells us that every one of us, every believer, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of ourselves before the Lord. But you know that this is also true, that we dads are going to give an account of our family as well. For we have the authority over them. God has given us in that position. We are responsible then to a certain amount that we live before them and that we seek to guide them with the biblical principles that God has revealed unto us in His Word. And so we must understand that we are accountable to the Lord. We are liable for our family. There's a principle, practical principle, that says that if I own it, I'm liable for it. Well, technically, as believers, we don't own anything. We're stewards of it. Not even our own body, for we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and spirit that belongs to Him. But in the practical sense, as He has given us to own as far as the use and the responsibility of that in this world, if you own, and you may say, if your property has a sidewalk on it there, and it snows, and you don't shovel your walk, and somebody walks out there and slips up on it and breaks a leg or so forth, you can be sued as being liable for negligence of not having cleaned your walk, of whom you're responsible for. And the practical principle is this, that if God, and God has placed your family under you as a responsibility, then you are liable for them. You're responsible to them, at least to a certain degree, to make sure that you have done what you should be doing, and you're the man that you should be before them, for God holds you accountable as well. Isn't it wonderful being a dad? It is. One commentator said, when parents take the helm and steer their children in the ways of God, disciplining them when they drift, they are exhibiting a genuine love for their families because love makes the hard choices. Love is willing to be misunderstood in the short term. Love sees serving God as the indispensable choice of life. We need to understand something, Dad. Understand that you are responsible for you and your home. As for me, in my house, personal choice, a parental choice. Thirdly, it was a purposeful choice. We will serve the Lord. There are two things about this purposeful choice I want you to see. One is our choice must be an action. It is what we're going to do. It's not just something that we're going to believe, but it's what we're going to do. It's a practice, not just a principle. It's faith and works. It's our creed, what we believe, and our deed, what we do. Both are involved. Too many believers today, they look at their choices with escape clauses. I'll serve the Lord if, I'll serve the Lord but, I'll serve the Lord when, I'll serve the Lord unless, I'll serve the Lord until, but it should be, I'll serve the Lord, period. No escape clauses, no conditions. Lord, I love you, and I'll serve you with everything that you've given me. No reservations, but with our whole heart, which brings us to the second part of that. Our choice must be an action, but our choice also must be an attitude. He said there in verse 14 there that we're to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. The word sincerity there means genuineness there. It means a wholehearted service unto the Lord. That's exactly what we're to do. We're to serve Him in sincerity and in truth, in faithfulness, reliability, as I preached last week. We're to serve Him that way. It is to be our attitude, not merely external show, but an internal genuine commitment. Not a half-hearted effort, but serving God with everything that we've got. Not when it's convenient only, but with consistency and determination. A resolve that we're going to be faithful unto the Lord no matter. We are to serve God purposefully with determination and resolve. And then last, it is a pressing choice. He said unto them, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. It is a time-sensitive choice. Why do you think God says, do it today? Make your choice today. The reason is, not a one of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We assume that we have tomorrow. We assume that we have next year. We assume if you're young that you've got years to come. And too many people make excuses and say, I'll serve God when I get older. I'll serve God when my life slows down and the children move out. I'll serve God when I retire. And then we get up there and we say, I can't serve God. I can't hardly get out of the bed. And it's too late. When are you going to serve God? Today is the day. It's a time-sensitive choice. It's been said that this day is the only day I have, the only day God promises me. And that is so true. It's a specific directional choice. Choose whom you will serve. You know, there's really only two choices. You can serve God, or the other choice really comes down to self, what you want. They are the only two choices that's there. Ken Collier, I've quoted before there, made this statement back in 1988, I believe it was. I saw on my plaque that it has it. There's just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Two choices. You're either going to serve God, please Him, or you're going to serve self and please yourself. You can't do both. Jesus said that in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise or disregard the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that mammon there may be money. It may be the establishment. What I like to understand it is you can't serve God and whatever you want to fill in the blank, because it's talking about things of the self. You can't serve God and self. What self wants. There are only two choices. It was a pressing choice to make it today and to make it for God, to serve Him, to please Him. There again in that whippoorwill song there, my own children come to me by choice. Dad, it's time to choose today whom you're going to serve. And it's an important choice that's before you. I came across this poem that says, to get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. As I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept around my neck, and then I heard him say, four simple words I shan't forget, four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me, I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. Wow. What an important choice that we have before us today, dads. young men that are not dads yet, the important choice for you, what kind of a man are you going to be? What will you be known for that's worth eternity to remember? It's an important choice, Dad. Have you chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have you chosen to serve the Lord in your actions, in your attitudes, with all that you've got? Every head bow, please. It's a personal choice that's laid before you this morning. It's a parental choice, you and your household, that you're responsible for. It's a purposeful choice to serve the Lord. And it's a pressing choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What will be your choice today, Dad? Father, I pray right now, as you have worked upon our hearts, we have listened to your truth. I pray that we have understood exactly what message you have given to us today and the choices that are laid before us. And Father, whether we are a dad, whether we're a teenager or a young person, whether we are a lady, a spouse, a parent of any kind, grandparent, whatever we are, Lord, may we make the right choices to serve you with all of our heart. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 285 is the hymn in which we're going to sing as we close. I'll be down front if you need to speak to me about any decision, especially if it's salvation. Have someone take you aside and show you how you can make that choice before you leave today. Or if you just need to come to the altar and pray, you respond as God lays it upon your heart on this first verse as we stand together and sing, please. Thank you so much for being here with us on this Father's Day Sunday of our Heavenly Father that we have worshiped this morning, and I pray that's been from your heart. As we go, I remind you of a couple things. There is a sign-up out there for Senior Saints if you're interested in that. Also, tonight our teens have their class. I guess they do. Oh, they? Yeah, okay, there we are. And our adults in here with the DVD there. Philippians chapter 2 with a quiz tonight in our service. Bulletin boards, ladies, if you need to take those things down, at least get it done by tonight, if you could, please. Four books up here, first come, first serve to you there.
And those in those special categories, make sure you get your cooler up here as well. And then each of you dads, probably each of you men, even if you're not a dad, I think we got enough of these gifts at the doors there. You're welcome to have that. And thank you so much for being a part with us today. Robbie, would you mind to dismiss us in prayer as we go, please?